Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I am so glad you're here this morning. Take your New Testaments and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I hope you're not getting tired of 1 Peter, because we are just slowly and systematically taking our time, working our way through this first century letter that Peter wrote to believers that were scattered there in the region to encourage their faith, to give them the momentum they need to continue pressing on, even as they were facing all kinds of hardships and persecutions and sufferings. Peter was writing to encourage them, to give them the momentum to keep on pressing on. And I am just finding so many gold nuggets in Peter's words that are just as applicable for us today as they were so many years ago when he first wrote these words. Last week, we ended with verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And I just want to remind you, or for those of you who weren't with us last Sunday, 1 Peter 4, 7 says this: "The end of all things is near, therefore, freak out and go nuts." Right? No. That's what the world's doing. Peter says to followers of Christ, because the end is near, we can be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you may pray. And what we did is we did exactly what Peter asks us to do, which is pray. And we took the service and we stopped and we prayed. And I got to thinking about that all this week. That's not a bad practice for us. At any time you, as you read through the scriptures and you see the word pray, just stop and pray. Because that's very important. Prayer is the strength and the connection that we need to keep on pressing on. It's interesting to me to watch people when they're cell phone battery starts to die, you know, and they're at 15% or 10%. And what do people do? What do we all do? We freak out. Oh, I got to plug this thing in. Otherwise, my phone is going to die, right? Well, prayer charges us up and keeps us charged up in the Lord. So I want to encourage you, as you're reading the scripture, as you're reading the Bible in your devotional time, and anytime you come across the word pray in scripture, put a bookmark in your Bible and say to yourself, I'll get back to where I'm reading, but I'm going to take some time and I'm going to pray. That's where we left off last week. Today we're going to pick up 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, just a few verses. But boy, these verses pack a punch. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, and I'll read through verse 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let me read that last sentence again. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now you read it with me. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Father, you receive all the glory. You are the source of all power. You are the one to be magnified and lifted up. in your sanctuary. And that's what we are striving to do this day, to lift you up, to glorify you, to praise you, to thank you, to honor you, to sing to you, to pray to you. For you are the source of all good things. You ask us to love one another deeply. And we can do that because you first loved us. And so, Lord, I pray that this passage of Scripture will speak to us and resonate in our hearts and in our souls. Lord, give us the momentum and the grace and the power we need to keep being true to Jesus Christ, especially in these confusing and trying days that we are living in. Your word is a compass. Your word is a lamp to our feet. Your word is a true guide for people of faith. And we hold on to you and your word. And all God's people said, Amen. Valdir Segato died this last week on what was his 55th birthday. I did not know him personally, but he caught my attention a couple of years ago in an article that I read that was quite fascinating and troubling. He was a Brazilian bodybuilder who injected synthetic synthol oils directly into his muscles, which then caused them to balloon to a grotesque size that made him look like he was something right out of a cartoon or a superhero comic book. Valdir had been using these synthetic injections for years, despite risking strokes and infections and heart issues. But he risked it anyway to produce these hulking biceps and pectoral and back muscles. He loved the attention that he got as he was inspired by the physiques of the likes of Arnold Schwarzenegger and even the Incredible Hulk. That's what locals would actually call him on the streets of Brazil. And he liked it when people referred to him as the monster. I think we have a picture to show you. There it is. That is a real picture of him. It's not been altered or changed in any way. You can Google his name and find pictures of him all over the internet. Years ago, he was warned that he could face amputation, or at the very least, nerve damage and muscle disfigurement, if he continued to use these synthetic injections to bulk himself out. But Valdir, who was previously a construction worker, said he liked the attention that it brought him. And he wanted to get even bigger. When he was younger, he was an emaciated, skinny drug addict and lost so much weight that he was known as Skinny Dog. But one day at the gym, someone offered him synthol oil and he became hooked on the substance. He knew what he was doing was dangerous, but he kept doing it anyway. You know how you read these tragic stories about people online and you think to yourself, oh, that's sad, but then you just kind of move on because you didn't really know the person? We all do that. But something about this story really touched me. Obviously, I didn't know Valdir Segato personally, but his story makes me especially sad, and I just can't stop thinking about him. And however tragic a story this is, there was a line in the article that I read that especially broke my heart. And it was this. While the bodybuilder had 1.7 million followers on TikTok, social media reported that he lived an isolated life with few friends or visitors. Tragic story all the way around. I can't stop thinking about it. Because here was a man who had a hole in his heart, a hole in his life. And he thought he could fill that hole that emptiness, that loneliness with synthetic oils by bulking himself up so that others would gawk at him. He wanted to be big and strong, not just physically, but he wanted to be big and strong emotionally. But he went about it the wrong way, and he tragically ended up dying on his 55th birthday. It may not be synthetic oils we are using, but you know, without God, we are all using something. The tragic story of humanity since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is that we are all using something to try and give us that strength we need to make it through life. And I'm not going to even try to list all the various synthetic oils this world offers us and that we've tried and that some of you still may be dabbling in, but you know what your weakness is. You know what your vice is. You know what it is that you use to try to bulk up and give you the pseudo-strength that you think you need, even though you know it's not the real thing. I absolutely love this phrase here that Peter uses in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. The strength God provides. That's the title of the message for today. The strength God provides. Because Peter hits the nail right on the head with this phrase. Because the strength that God provides us is the real deal. It's an inner strength that can only come from God. It's a divine strength. It's a supernatural strength. It's a spiritual strength. It's a holy strength. It's the kind of strength that the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:16 when he says this. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, in our spirit, we are being renewed day by day. Inwardly in Christ, we are being renewed daily. Now, outwardly, physically, if you're getting older day after day after day, and that's every single one of us, we all feel the effects of aging. But if you are in Christ, and if Christ is in you, we do not lose heart, because inwardly, God renews us with a strength that can only come from Him day after day after day. Now talk about momentum. What is it that keeps us going in Christ? It's because of the strength that He provides. Yes, the older we get, I get it, the slower we move, you know, and the aches creep up on us and we don't recover as quickly as we used to. You know, physically getting older has its challenges, that's for sure. But inwardly, in our spirit, in our soul, in our heart, God renews us day after day after day. Think about a time in your life when you were just weak, tired, broken, hurting. Just think about a time when you just felt like you could not go on any further, and yet God gave you the strength you needed to persist. You had nothing else within yourself to give, and yet you cried out to God, and He supernaturally gave you the strength that you needed. God is faithful like that. He does that. He comes through for us time and time and time again. And have you noticed that God's divine strength seems to be especially evident in your life when you are most dependent upon Him, when you need Him the most? It's what the Apostle Paul experienced when he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, this is God's power, is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. When's the last time you delighted in a difficulty? Paul says it's because when I am weak, that's when God comes through every single time and he is strong. Our ultimate example is Jesus, of course. And I'm going to give you a couple of really, really inspiring Bible verses, okay, for you to think about. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. This verse is going to inspire you and knock your socks off. John chapter 4, verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey. Doesn't that just inspire you? Doesn't that just motivate you? Why would I read this verse to you? To show you that even though Jesus was fully God, he was fully human, just like you and I. And guess what? He got tired. Let me share another verse with you. Turn to Mark chapter 4. This one's going to inspire you as well. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 37. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Doesn't that just inspire you? Inspires me to take a nap, you know. Jesus was so tired that Mark tells us not only was he sleeping, he had his head on a pillow. I share these verses with you to show you that Jesus was just as every bit human as you and I. And he was drained physically. And he would get tired. And yet he's our example. Because where does his strength come from? His strength came from his union with the Father. We are constantly reading of Jesus going away after having ministered to multitudes of people or performing miracles. Jesus was constantly going away, refreshing, recharging his batteries as he spent time alone with the Father. Jesus, the greatest man who ever lived, found the source of his strength and refreshment from being connected and united with the Father. And if Jesus would physically get tired as we do, and if Jesus would have to sleep every night as we do, and if Jesus was depleted because of ministry to the sick and to the dying and to the infirmed, and if Jesus needed to be recharged and refreshed and find the source of his strength from God the Father, he's our example, and we must find our strength in the Father. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is an amazing verse, one that I fall back on time and time again. Ephesians 6:10, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Read that with me. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. There's a couple of key words in this verse, and I circled them for you that I want to highlight. Be strong where? With who? In the Lord. That is our key, being united with the Lord and in His mighty power. One of the biggest mistakes we make is seeking to find strength and energy from other people. And yes, we do need to be around other people who build us up. We need to be around positive, faith-filled people. That's important. That's why church is important. I love hanging out with you because you, your faith, gives me strength. However, you're not God. And there are times when even the best people with the best intentions have nothing to give me. And so the key for us as we move forward in faith with a faith-filled momentum is to find our strength in the Lord whose strength it never wavers, who is constantly there for us, and in His mighty power. We do this through prayer, worship, reading Scripture, meditating on His Word, serving others, doing good deeds. Everything we do to stay connected with the Lord gives us His mighty power. One of the most powerful ways is the sacrament of Holy Communion that we will partake in here in just a few moments. And communion, the very act of communion, is very powerful. And I believe Jesus did it this way on purpose. When Jesus said, "Eat and drink," that is a source of strength and nourishment. Physically, when we're depleted, if you're thirsty, you're going to make a beeline to the drinking fountain, right? If you're hungry, you're going to find something in the fridge. Spiritually, when we are weak and depleted and need strength, we take and eat symbolically of our Lord Jesus, who gives us the strength that we need. You know, our church has some wonderful people who model what it is to be strong in the Lord for us. And he's not here today, but I want to tell you just a little bit about Jim Hunt's story. Most of us, I think, know Jim's story pretty well, but some of you newer people may not know. You know, Jim is battling cancer right now, and so he's not able to be with us every Sunday. And yet on the Sundays that he's here, he's filled with faith and joy. And even though outwardly, physically, he's dealing with the effects of cancer, inwardly, I've never known Jim to be as strong as he is. But it's more than that. Some of you may not know he had a son who tragically died in a car accident. And I'll never forget the day I got the phone call when he called me and said his son James was in a car accident. It was a devastating day. It was heartbreaking. He was only in his early 20s. And yeah, that was hard on Jim. And Jim could have lost his faith. But I saw God do something in Jim that was absolutely amazing. And Jim actually grew in his faith. But it wasn't because of himself. It was the strength that God gave him. And then several years after that, his wife Donna became ill to the point where she eventually passed away. And there was yet another tragedy in his heart and in his life. And that was painful. And Jim could have lost his faith then. And yet, I saw God work in his life in an amazing way. And I saw God's mighty power at work fill Jim with a faith that can only come from God. And now that he's dealing with cancer, I see God even working in his life, renewing him inwardly, making him stronger inwardly, day after day after day. Keep Jim in your prayers, because I know he finds his strength in the Lord. Even with all the tragedies he's endured and the struggles that he's dealing with now, he is finding his strength in God. God has a strength for you if we continue to stay in the Lord and focus on His mighty power. Peter gives us some very clear instructions here. In verse 8, he tells us to love. But there's a caveat. The caveat is love each other deeply. There is a superficial love. This world is very good at that. But Christ doesn't call us to superficially love each other. He calls us to a deep kind of committed love, where we love each other deeply, truly, genuinely, authentically. And church, I want to say, even though we're not perfect, you do that pretty well. And you bless me with the way that you love each other. Continue to love one another deeply. Verse 9, he tells us to offer hospitality to one another. This is something that our American culture has lost in recent years. We as Americans expect to be served. If we go to a restaurant, we expect service We expect it promptly, we expect it quickly, and if we don't get it, we get upset. We've lost the art as a culture, the art of hospitality. And yet Peter, writing in a first century context where hospitality was much more common, reminds early Christians and reminds us today that we should be hospitable to each other. But there's a caveat. We do it without grumbling. Verse 10, Peter says, God has given you a gift. If you are a breathing human being here, God has gifted you in a certain way. And we all have different gifts. Find that gift that God has gifted you, and here's the caveat. Serve others. And again, Jesus is our example. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And so if we're going to live with a faith-filled momentum, we need to find how God has gifted us. It could be musical, it could be artistic, it could be mechanical, it could be whatever. However God has gifted you, put your gift to work and serve others. And then in verse 11, Peter reminds us that God has given you a voice. Of all the creatures on the planet, we are unique in that we can verbally speak. Now, other creatures can communicate with each other, but we have the ability to verbally express with words and inflection our thoughts. And we all know people, and perhaps we've done it ourselves, we've used our words in ways that have been less than pleasing to God. But Peter here reminds us, when we speak, when we open our mouth, may the very words that we speak be what God would have us speak. In other words, use your voice to build each other up. Use your words to offer encouragement and blessing. Use your voice in a God-honoring way. So we're going to take Holy Communion this morning, and we're going to receive strength from Christ, and we're going to receive the grace of God so that we can then administer that grace to others.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.